He is the great I am. And bread is one of the most common things that we could ever focus on. We need bread. Our world needs bread. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I want to offer a prayer and then ask you during the prayer, is there any places in your life you're dissatisfied? Because in our places of dissatisfaction, it's an upside-down opportunity to know God, who is the source of our satisfaction. If we're going to have satisfaction, it'll come through the Lord. There'll never be enough for us to have satisfaction without the Lord. So look in your life. Is there any presence of dissatisfaction as we pray? And let's be open to God wants to speak to that tonight. Dear God, we thank you that in a very complicated world, it's not always so complicated after all. Just like our body requires bread, our spirit requires spiritual bread to know this bread of life, Jesus. And so tonight, help us to hear what this is saying to us, this bread of life. Amen. This is a series on knowing God. And the I Am sayings help us to know God, know who God is. And also, we learn more about who we are as we learn more about who God is. And we are able to experience the person God created us to be. So that's the hope of this. Now, have you ever been dissatisfied? Perhaps you're dissatisfied tonight with your life. And it can be a time in that dissatisfaction of turning to the Lord. Because He does give us what we need. Dr. John Claypool said years ago that we tend to live our life as if what's coming down the road is going to bring us happiness and satisfaction. And often it has nothing to do with the Lord. And so when we're young, we think when we get out of school. When we're young, we think if I get married. When we're young, we think when I have children. When we're younger, we think if I can find the right job. And it goes on and on and on. And it can go like that all of our lives. But Dr. John Claypool said this about that, living life as if something down the road is going to make us happy, something's going to satisfy us. He said it's like the cotton candy syndrome. You ever notice how attractive cotton candy looks from a distance? It's colorful, it's fluffy, it's eye-catching. But then you put it in your mouth and what happens? Whew, it's gone. Just a brief taste, but often it's dissatisfying. It doesn't live up to the billing. And we know we could not eat cotton candy for a meal. We'd be sick if we substituted cotton candy for a meal. Our quest for satisfaction is somewhat like that. Well, I want to take us on a journey tonight. And it may seem like a meandering journey, but I think this common theme of bread has been there since the beginning of time. And we go all the way back to Moses and Israel in captivity of Egypt. And when they were in captivity, the Lord heard their cries. And the Lord knew that they were being mistreated. And He wanted to set them free. And I imagine all these thousands of Israelites would have thought, if we can ever be free, we'll be satisfied, we'll be happy. And so God called Moses with a very tall order and challenge to lead all these thousands through the desert. And through persuasion of Pharaoh, through the plagues and all, they were granted their freedom. And they began this journey. But how long were they satisfied? You'd think they've been in bondage. They would be happy. They'd be satisfied. But didn't last long at all, did it? In fact, it was just the first challenge of the journey. They had the Red Sea in front of them. And they had Pharaoh's army pursuing them. And they began regretting their freedom, this liberation. They wanted to go even back to Egypt then. There was a challenge in front of them, and God provided an extraordinary miracle for them, the parting of the Red Sea. And how would that have been to just see the waters open up to where you could cross from one side to the other? And then when you got on the other side, that the waters again, they consumed Pharaoh and all of his army. What would that have been like? You would think they would have been satisfied for years. They would have been happy. We have observed the mighty hand of God parting the Red Sea, granting not only our deliverance, but giving us a miracle so that we can begin this journey to the promised land. You would think. But that didn't last long either, did it? In fact, it lasted just a day or two until they became hungry. They became hungry, and you know what happens to people when they get hungry, right? I don't know if you've had dinner tonight or not. You get angry, you get grumpy. I've noticed even some of the church meetings that when we don't provide food, it can change things. People get grumpy. And so did Israel. And they began saying the most outrageous things. They began saying things like, "We wish we were back in Egypt. At least we were able to eat well there. What have you done? You've brought us out into the desert now to die." And so, God performed another miracle. Manna from heaven, quail. An extraordinary amount of quail, so that the children of Israel, they would have food, not to store up, but day to day, their needs would be met, this manna, this bread from heaven, day to day. Now, wouldn't you think they'd be satisfied at this time? No, they began to get bored with the manna. They began again to grumble. And here we see our story in Israel, in all of these tremendous events going on, we see that it wasn't enough for them. They wanted something besides manna. They wanted something besides quail. They sure did not want to get, they wanted their freedom, but they did not want it in the wilderness. You know, there were some things they were out of control of, and it scared them. It intimidated them. I think about just last weekend with the hurricane and all of that seemed to be out of everybody's control, and it's intimidating. But yet, God had a reason for granting this manna every day and not storing it up. His reason was he wanted this relationship with Israel. And if he had given them food for years, they would have turned their back on him. God gave enough for the day, and then he refreshed it the next day, and so on and so on. And so we see a rhythm here. Human beings, we become dissatisfied, but God always provides. God always provides. And he even has the journey heading toward the promised land, a better place. Now, Israel had to go through struggles to get there, but God had the promised land in mind for Israel. They were on a journey. Now, we like to have this journey all at once. We like to get what we want when we want it. But this is not the story in the Bible at all. In fact, that old saying, it's not in the Bible, the old saying, one day at a time, is true. One step at a time. You know, that's really what we control. We don't have control of the future. If we're dissatisfied with things and we want to see something different, we don't control the future. But what we can control is the present. And we can trust God one step at a time. That's our best way to be satisfied. With all that's out of our control, we just focus on what we can control and we trust God with the future. Now, there's an old saying that some of us look at the future with the glass half full and the glass half empty. Actually, that's a good saying, and I think it does reveal our personalities, whether we are more optimistic or pessimistic. But there's something much stronger than this at work in our biblical story. The Apostle Paul said it like this. Now, we all know Philippians 4:13. I'm guessing half of you could probably quote it. I can do all things through Christ who... There you go. But do you know what Philippians 4:12 says? And it is actually what leads up to I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Let's take a look. I know what it is to be in need, Paul says, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can we be content in Jesus Christ when we have plenty, when we don't have enough, when we feel well fed or hungry? Can we trust the Lord day to day with our needs? I think the mic cut out. Can I go to one of these? Thank you. Well, let's move into the New Testament. This story of bread, it just keeps coming up. This story of God's provision, this story of human beings being dissatisfied, it just continues. Jesus was with his disciples and with a multitude of people. In that day, they reported the men, and there were 5,000. We can deduce that there were, in addition to the men, there were also women and children. So perhaps 10, 15,000 people, a multitude. And Jesus used this occasion to teach about the kingdom of God. The disciples, they saw no way that they could feed this kind of multitude. A year's wages wouldn't do it. It's not practical. Send them on their way, they were thinking. But Jesus said, "What do we have?" That's a powerful statement. What do we have? And it turned out that what they had were 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus offered this up to the Lord. He began breaking it, and all ate until they were satisfied. And not only were they satisfied, but there were 12 basketfuls left over. So we see God's abundance in this story. We don't see scarcity. Gosh, it would have been easy to see scarcity. Thousands of people to feed, 5 loaves and 2 fish. But Jesus turned to the Lord, and there was God's abundance, just like manna from heaven. Then there's one more story. John, the Gospel of John, just leading up to this I Am teaching. There's this story of the woman at the well. She has come to Jacob's well at noon. It is a part of her daily routine to make sure there is water for her family, for all those friends that she has. And so she is there because she will die without this water. She encounters Jesus while she is there. And Jesus crosses several barriers. The disciples, again, had left, leaving Jesus with this woman. And it was forbidden in this day that a man would speak to a woman at high noon in plain sight for all to see. It was forbidden that a Jew would speak to a Samaritan. They were enemies. Jesus crossed several barriers here in this story. And here, they're both present because of their physical thirst. This need of bread, this need of water, this basic human need has drawn them to this well. And Jesus starts teaching about living water. And he teaches about living water, and it comes up that this woman's life is a questionable life. It's a life where she has five husbands. She has issues. She has struggles. But Jesus ministers to her, teaches her about this living water. And he does so in such a convincing way that this woman runs off excited for all Jesus knew about her, but still accepting of her, teaching of her of this living water, and she left her water bottle behind. That's how impactful this teaching was to her. Can you imagine going to a well because you're thirsty and then leaving the water behind because you found something better? Many years ago, I went on the Emmaus Walk, and this is a 72-hour event. Have any of you been on the Emmaus Walk? Several of you. And if you are interested in learning more about the Emmaus Walk, you can ask someone that just held up their hand. But our church has been very involved in the Emmaus Walk through the years, and I went through Emmaus many years ago, and it was the only time in my life I heard so many powerful spiritual messages over a short period of time that I sat down before a meal and I wasn't hungry anymore. I just looked at my food. It was delicious. It wasn't the food, but the needs of my soul had been met over those days, and I temporarily, and I stress that word, temporarily, lost my physical appetite because my spiritual soul was so full. So I can relate to the woman at the well leaving her water jar behind, because I think when our spiritual needs are met that strongly, yeah, we would forget about physical bread because the spiritual bread would be so meaningful to us. Well, what does this say to us today? Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I believe it gets at the heart of this matter of people that are dissatisfied with their life. You're not going to ever gain satisfaction by thinking it's coming down the road. The acquiring of things is never going to bring satisfaction. You ever notice that when you acquire things that a year or two later, it's not that important to you? I knew a man that said one time, he's very successful, he said, the more stuff I get, the more miserable I get. Because then I have to think about how to take care of my stuff. And what if my stuff breaks? All these worries that come with stuff. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. And this is for all of us, meeting our daily needs and our satisfaction. Now, let's go back through the story of Israel. I think we can see our steps in this story. Are any of us tonight just like Israel when they were in bondage in Egypt? There's something in our life that we're enslaved to. It may be a habit. It may be a sin. It could be an attitude. It could be most anything. But we are enslaved from looking at life as God wants us to look at it because of this bondage. Is it possible that we could be set free even tonight of that bondage? Now, when we start our journey with the Lord, just like Israel, we're going to have a journey. It's going to be, for some of us, it's going to be a long, long journey. And there's going to be high moments. There's going to be low moments. But the important thing about this journey with the Lord is to take that first step, to cross the Red Sea, so to speak, to know that God's going to provide the way, even when there doesn't appear to be a way, to take that first step of the journey. And we look at our life, we do not have a literal wilderness like Israel did, but you know we have wildernesses that we live in. For some of us, we may feel like we're in the wilderness, that we're lost, that we're meandering, that we're just going in circles. We're not sure what tomorrow holds. So we're in our own kind of wildernesses. So one of the ways that we walk through the wilderness is through our discipleship. Jesus wants us to be his disciple, basically to follow him. When we're in the wilderness, we follow Jesus and we learn from whatever we're to learn. And we walk with him. And we have those high moments and low moments, and we're walking with Jesus. And this idea of being a disciple comes from Jesus. He says, we are in line with his will if we are his disciple, if we love one another, we're his disciple. So in this journey, step by step, we're called to be a disciple and to make disciples. And it's a wonderful journey. And it's exciting for us. Be a disciple, make disciples. Now, in this journey, I would say that sometimes we don't like not having control over the future, just like Israel. But it's our discipleship that's going to help us move into the future a step at a time. And know, just like Israel had to trust for manna each day, God's going to provide. God's going to provide again and again and again. We need not worry about God's provision. We only need to walk and take a step-by-step trust of God each day. Now, this discipleship, for many years, I've been a pastor a very long time. And for many years, I think sometimes we've tried to make discipleship something real accessible for folks, even to the point of diluting the teachings of Jesus. But I really don't think that's what people are looking for, this bread. They're not looking for something that's easy. They're not looking for something that's diluted. They're looking for the real thing, this real bread that Jesus has for us. So this is a slide that I prepared, and I thought, well, should I really word it like this? But I think it communicates. It doesn't really take a long time. There may be a myth that it takes someone a long time to become a Christian, that they got to learn more about the Bible, or they got to be in church a long time. I'm not so sure you have to be in the church a long time to be a Christian and a disciple. I think as soon as we recognize that we have a deep spiritual need and we want Jesus to meet that deep spiritual need, we're on our way. We're open to Jesus meeting that deep spiritual need in our life. I don't know that we ever need to dumb it down to make it easy. It wasn't easy for Israel, was it? It wasn't easy for Jesus all the way to the cross. So we raise the bar. We really live as disciples. We really seek this bread of Jesus every day. And by the way, just truth here, when I prepared this slide, I misspelled the word dumbing down. And I thought, that's too crazy not to share. But I don't see we as a church need to dumb it down. I think we just need to offer the real Jesus to real human needs and this bread of life. People are hungry and starving for this real bread of life. Which leads me to raising the bar. And back to this thought. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. That is a wonderful word of inspiration. Some of us need to hear that word today. We feel defeated. And to know that if we're with Jesus, we can do all things in Him. But let's not omit that 12th verse that I've learned in whatever season I'm in, plenty or nothing, fed or hungry, with fulfilled or in want, I've learned I can be content. God is with us. God's provision is going to come to us. God's provision will come to us as we walk with God one day at a time, trusting Him one day at a time. And finally, this is where we head with this I am saying. Jesus is all we need. We're not going to be satisfied ultimately pursuing other things. But Jesus will give us all we need. There was a man who was very successful, but like some successful people, you know, things can turn in life, and he lost everything. He was not a Christian when he had everything. But he sought the Lord when he lost everything. And so something great happened to him when he hit the bottom. When he hit the bottom, he knew that Jesus was all he needed the rest of his life. Eventually, he would have a lot of what he lost come back to him, but he would say, "It wasn't until I lost everything that I realized Jesus was all I needed." Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." Would you pray with me? Thank you, God, for this bread that will not leave us spiritually hungry, but will lead us to trust you all the more day to day. Help us to move forward in our journey, breaking anything that enslaves us through the grace of Jesus Christ, walking with you, trusting you, participating in what you're seeking to do in the world today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.